Well, good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Good to see you as we begin another week. We're turning once more to Psalm 110. I'm just anxious to point out to you that we change the emphasis of our study from today. When we first began to look at Psalm 110, I pointed out to you that this is the only prophecy that relates to what the Savior is doing now. He's sitting at God's right hand waiting for his Father to act and bring about the final confrontation and victory over his enemies by the Lord Jesus. Well, we've finished thinking about what Christ is doing now, and we move now into the future. Look at the Psalm 110. We'll read the first two verses, and I want you to notice the move from the present into the future. You ready? Verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until, and we now move into the future, I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. It's the verse 2 we're going to consider, or at least begin to consider, today. And I've changed the title of our study from this morning to the title Future Days for Israel, as pictured in the Psalms. So that's what we're going to be looking at from now on. I was just sitting there thinking that up ahead I have a study or two that will be slightly out of sequence, in that it will be a few observations regarding the fact that in the Psalms you find God's people constantly in prayer and in song, for the Psalms are both referring to the future. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe I should have done that first. But then I was caught between looking at what is happening at this present time regarding the Lord Jesus, him sitting, and then the rest of what is stated here in Psalm 110. But anyway, let's look then at verse 2. This wonderful second verse, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. I love the word shall in the Bible. It speaks of certainty. It's very different from maybe or perhaps. Those are words that reflect uncertainty. We're not just sure, but the word shall, that's a very strong word denoting certainty. And when you come to the Bible, there are certain things which are very certain. God says this is what's going to happen, and we can say, well, it shall happen. And here we have one of God's shalls. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. These are words directed at the Lord Jesus. This is the Father speaking to the Son. God never tells lies. He never makes empty promises. And he certainly doesn't make empty promises to his Son. So we can be certain, very certain, that what is stated here will come to pass. The day spoken of here, the day when Christ will rule over his enemies, is a day that is revealed to us in many, many, many places in Scripture. And I have to say, boys and girls, that which God reveals in many, many places and repeatedly deals with, he must want you to take note of it. He must want you to take note of it. I'm sure you've all had the occasion and the experience when you've been coming to school and Mum says, have you got your lunch? Yes, yes, all here, Mum. 2 minutes later, she says, are you sure you have your lunch? And as you're going out the door, she says, did you put in your lunch? Why does she say this all the time? Because she doesn't want you to go hungry today. It's something of importance that she wants you to notice. And I say that when the Lord speaks repeatedly of this day, it's something he wants us to learn, to note. And of course it's a great encouragement to us. The Lord wants us ever to have in our minds and before our eyes the fact that there's a glorious day of victory coming. Doesn't want us to forget that. So you find in Scripture that this day that's spoken of here in verse 2 is revealed to us in many places in Scripture. And when you put all the different places that it's referred to and the information that is given in those different places, when you put all that information together, you get a very full picture of what the Lord wants you to know. And if you don't study all of the references, you're not going to get a full picture. If you're making up a jigsaw, and as I look down upon you, it occurs to me there might be a mischievous little brother or sister who would come along and while you're not looking, take away a few bits and pieces of the jigsaw and hide them. And you're working away at the jigsaw and you can't find the other bits and there's blank spaces in the jigsaw. You don't get the complete picture. Well, the same thing will happen if you don't look at all that is given us in the Bible concerning the glorious day of victory. Oh, boys and girls, how I wish that above all the boys and girls in Northern Ireland, you will be the best educated on the subject of Christ's return. I hope that in the years of adulthood, you will be a help to others because you have learned what the Bible has to say, or much. None of us can learn all that the Bible has to say, but you'll have learned much of what the Bible has to say about this wonderful day of Christ's victory. We're permitted then, through the prophetic scriptures, to look away into the future. Just think of that. Who else in this world has an opportunity to look into the future? Oh, I'll tell you this. The big businessmen would love to know what the future holds. They would love to know what way the value of gold, of silver, of oil and all the rest, what way it'll go. I rang up the other day there, my supplier of heating oil to heat my house. And I was wondering, should I order some? And he says, listen, just hold on for a day or two. We're not sure what might happen. Now, he's the guy that's buying the oil, supplying the oil. He's in the business every day thinking about it, looking at all that's happening, but he doesn't know for sure what price the oil will be by the end of this week. It might be down.
Might be up.
So he's telling me, in case it might go down, just hold on before you order anything. Because to order it at the end of the week, it might be cheaper. Oh, yes. The businessmen of this world would love to know what's going to happen in the future. But God has told the boys and the girls of Kilskerry what's going to happen in the future. He has told them in his word, and indeed he has told anybody who cares to read what is in his word, what's going to happen in the future regarding the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me quickly show you just one example of a very clear indication of events that are going to happen. We're turning to the little book of Joel. Joel chapter 3. Now, at least one of you ought to know where Joel is. Joel chapter 3. It's right in the middle of the minor prophets. You come to Hosea. He followed Daniel. Then you come to Joel. So, we look at the chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 9. Now, you could look at the whole chapter in your own time, but just look at verse 9 of Joel chapter 3. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. This is God speaking to those who are not Jews. And he says, proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. That's what God says to the Gentile nation. Prepare war. Get ready for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I could make many a weak comment on verse 10, but for the sake of time, I'll not. Assemble yourselves, and come all ye heathen. those who do not believe the gospel, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen, that emphasizes who it is God's talking to, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. That's the same day that's spoken of here in our verse. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemy. It's the same day. Slightly different information in both portions of Scripture, but it refers to the same day. Now, we're told here that this day refers to events that are going to take place in a place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I don't know if you know where that is. I've been in it, as have millions of visitors who come to Israel, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. You know the name Jehoshaphat means, and this is wonderful. It means God shall judge. So what we're saying here is God's drawing attention to events that will take place in the valley in which God shall judge. Now, where is the Valley of Jehoshaphat? Most Bibles, not all, but most Bibles have at the back of them maps. And one of the maps usually includes a map of the city of Jerusalem. Your Bibles don't have them, if you're thinking of looking. Those are simple little editions of God's holy word. No, I mean the more expensive leather-bound Bibles. The one at home probably has, and you look it up when you get home. And when you get the picture of the city of Jerusalem, as you're looking at it, there it is, the walls round it, and over here is the Mount of Olives. And round the walls of the city, between the Mount of Olives and the city, is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. If you're up in Jerusalem and you want to go to the Mount of Olives, you have to go down the slope, cross the valley, and then climb up the Mount of Olives. And it stretches, if we have a circle, it stretches from about here. Say it's we'll think of a clock's face, from about 6 o'clock, right round 3 o'clock, up to 12 o'clock and a bit beyond. Almost right round the city. You know what's interesting? Where that valley basically ends
is right close to where the Lord Jesus was crucified.
Because we believe that he was crucified in that place which is called the Garden Tomb. The base of the hill, and at the top of the hill is the place where Christ was crucified. And that is located basically at the north end of the valley. When I thought about this, I thought to myself, isn't this marvelous? The Lord Jesus is going to get the victory over his enemies near to the place where his enemies crucified him. I think that's significant. Boys and girls, Calvary, and all that the rejecters of Christ have ever done regarding Calvary will be avenged in the very sight of Calvary. I was thinking too as I was sitting waiting on the assembly starting. If you remember the map I've drawn for you, as it were, there's the walls of Jerusalem, there's the Valley of Jehoshaphat, here's the Mount of Olives. That's where Christ is coming. One day his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. That's where he went up to heaven from. And he's coming right back to the same place. And I thought to myself, there's all the enemy assembled under Antichrist, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, facing Jerusalem. Their backs are toward the Mount of Olives. They're besieging the city. They're attacking the city. And up behind them comes the Lord. Well, that's how men who reject the gospel end up meeting with Christ. He comes from behind them because they've been facing away from him, and he'll fall upon them with vengeance. That's what we read. That's what we read, boys and girls. Then, let me just say one other thing. In the final days of this age, just before the Savior returns, it will be God, in his sovereign power, who will gather the enemies into that valley. It is God. Zechariah, that's one book from the end, It's followed by Malachi, which is the last. And in Zechariah chapter 14, and in the verse 2, we read these words. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. I want you to notice that. To battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought on the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. As I read that, and I've read it many times, I've often thought, just when men think that they have got the better of God, when they think they have drawn up a plan to gather outside Jerusalem and attack it, and it appears they're beginning to be successful, because you read there of how they have broken into the city and attacked the people. It seems they're on the very brink of destroying Jerusalem and slaughtering the Israelites and wiping them out. They will discover something. That it is God who has brought them there, and that to destroy them. Destroy them. Because as they're focused on the city, and they're attacking it and breaking into it and slaughtering, then shall the Lord descend upon Mount Olivet and attack them and wipe them out. Every last one, wipe them out. Don't you see, boys and girls? Men think they have God defeated. Men think they have overcome God. Men think they can outthink God. But they're wrong. Over all their thinking was the purpose of God. He had brought them there. Boys and girls, let us bow humbly before God today and acknowledge his sovereignty, his greatness, his power. And let us acknowledge our weakness, our nothingness, our folly. If we think that we can defeat God, how wise it is to obey the gospel. To heed what he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The wise person, the wise boy and girl, obeys that command. They repent, they believe the gospel, and so they are ready for that day when Jesus comes. And instead of being amongst the enemies, they will be amongst those welcomed, blessed, glorify, joining with Christ forever in heaven. Where do you stand? Are you saved? Have you obeyed the Lord Jesus? Oh, that you might do so if you haven't. That you'll take heed to the warning that's set before us here. God cannot be defeated. You cannot defeat him. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write your word on the hearts of the boys and girls and all of us here. And give to us a solemn fear, reverencing of God, and a submissiveness to his word. Bless the school. Meet its every need for thy name's sake. And Lord, bring in better days. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.